Blog Talk Radio.
Special edition, Friday, December 27th, noon Eastern time, lunchtime with Commissioner T and my co-host I'll introduce momentarily. You know him as Dr. Train, who'll be joining me momentarily. I hope everyone had a great, great Christmas, had a great week with family, friends, and loved ones. You know, Christmas only comes once a year. It's more than just a day off. You know, it's time to sit back and enjoy people that are special in your life. And I hope everybody did get to do that. If you're on vacation, I hope you're enjoying it. And if you're working today, I'm sorry. we were going to do the show last night, and I made a game time decision to kind of delay the show just long enough, thinking that by noon today, we would know if Tony Romo would be starting for the Dallas Cowboys, and my decision turned out to be the correct one, because roughly within the last half an hour, we have discovered that Tony Romo is definitely out for the season, as has been reported and rumored all week long, and it has been confirmed this morning that he had back surgery this morning, and is definitely done for the season, regardless of whether the Cowboys beat the Eagles or not. So there will be no more Tony Romo for the 2013 NFL season. And we also found out late yesterday, shortly before our show would have aired, that Aaron Rodgers is actually going to start after missing 7 games. He will start against the team that actually put him on the shelf for those 7 games. He will be going to Chicago to quarterback those Green Bay Packers to see if they can win the division against the Chicago Bears. So this is probably the most entertaining and interesting Week 17 that I could ever remember, and we're going to try to break it down as best we can to give you guys kind of some sense of what's on the line and maybe clear up some of the confusion out there. But I don't do this alone, and let me bring on my co-host. I apologize if normally, you know, my voice is a little off, and I apologize. I'm battling a cold. I think I'm winning, though. I feel pretty good, just a little stuffy, but, you know, I'm still here fighting. But anyway, let me bring on the winner of the first ever EAFL Super Bowl, the man who actually got up early to join us this morning because he's West Coast time, so it's 9 o'clock out there. The man with the PhD, the doctor of philosophy. We know him affectionately as Dr. Train. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Good morning, T. Only for you, man, would I get up this early.
Aww.
When I'm on vacation.
Well, you know what, brother? Not just for me, man. You got a lot of fans out there that just love to hear Dr. Train and his philosophy on the NFL. And with one of the, you know, with so many big games, and one of them focused on your team, I just wouldn't be the same Madden Voice if Dr. Train wasn't here to talk about the Bears taking on and hosting the Green Bay Packers. So I'm glad you could join us. Our other co-host, K-Star, is working, so he may be listening. He said he would try to listen in. So K-Star, nothing but love for you. Congratulations on officially winning the EAFL Super Bowl, or EAFL Fantasy Football Super Bowl, if you will. He's the champ. I am not. And he earned it. And anybody out there on his friends page that you know, I saw a lot of people giving him a hard time. Dude earned it. Dude, you know, he is the champ. There's no doubt about it. And it's gonna be a long off season for Commissioner T because I lost by 23 points. And had I gone ahead and made the tough decision to start Andy Dalton, I would have won by 2 points. So I would take that into the off season. But the one thing is, my loyalty still prevailed. I went with my guy, and while I could have won, I made the best decision I can, and K-Star got the best of me. So congratulations to K-Star on a great season. It's only his second season in the league, and I believe this is his first season that he actually chose his own team. Is that right, Trey?
Yeah, first season he chose his own team. And, you know, K-Star got past both of us with both of us having a missed start at quarterback.
Wow.
I Luke was my guy all season long. When it came down to matchups, I chose who I thought was the best matchup, which was Alex Smith. And then Luke puts up 40. And you stuck with the guy who was giving you all season. And the other guy had the better matchup. So, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he got past both of us due to quarterback play.
You know,
course,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'll say then, of course, Josh McCown, you know, goes off for him in our game where I actually had him going into Monday night.
Yeah, you know, and you know, it just shows that there is a lot of luck involved in fantasy football as well, because Train and I used the exact opposite logic to make our decisions, and in both cases wish we had went the other direction. So there is some luck involved in this game too. But regardless, K-Star is the champ. Congratulations. So good for him. All right, well, let's kind of jump right into it. I flip-flopped on what was going to be the lead story between Rodgers and Romo, and I guess we're going to go with Romo since the news just came out within the last 30 minutes that Romo will not be starting, that Romo will had back surgery this morning, and he's on IR, and that's it. He's done for the year. The Cowboys certainly have Kyle Orton as their backup, and they also brought in John Kitna. For people out there that are not Cowboy fans, will remember that John Kitna was a Cowboy backup for 2 years prior to Orton. And Jason Garrett's first year as head coach, he came in and took over for Wade Phillips. The Cowboys were 1-7. And Tony Romo was out, broken collarbone for the year. And John Kitna came in and started the last 8 games and finished 5-3 under Jason Garrett. As a starter. And if you caught any of the news conferences or anything this week, apparently, you know, people keep in touch and they know each other. And Kitna, I guess, reached out to the team and said, hey, you know, I'm still in pretty good shape and I'm 41 years old, but, you know, I've played in this league a long time and I know your offense better than these guys you're looking at off the street. And since you're not looking at someone to come in and start, I mean, I don't think there's a better backup that you're going to find that knows your offense, knows your personnel better than me. So if you guys want to bring me in, I'm willing. And Jason Garrett was quoted as saying, are you serious? and to make a long story short, Kitna is the backup now, number 2 quarterback. And you know, as a side note, because I just think it's something that should be noted, John Kitna is going to make $53,000 for Sunday's game, and he's donating it all to the high school that he's been working at, that he's a coach, and he's also a math teacher. And apparently it's I get the sense based on what I read, it's some kind of inner city school that there's a lot of poor kids go there, and so this $53,000 is going to be donated to the Booster Club and ultimately used on the students. So you know in light of all everything that's going on, and we talk about football and we talk about Tony Romo and Aaron Rodgers and injuries and titles and playoffs, underneath all this, it's still Christmas week. It's still a time for giving, you know, and I think John Kitna should be I've never been a John Kitna fan, although I did gain some respect for him when he came to Dallas, but I've never overall been a fan of his. But I got to tell you, that right there just totally touches my heart, you know, because You ain't got to do that. I mean, you know, and so I think he should be really recognized for doing something as huge as just saying, hey, I'll play for free. You know, I'm going to give it to the school that I work at. That's incredible. But let me ask Train his opinion on something, because this will probably be talked about all weekend. You've been watching a lot of football a very long time, and you're a student of the game, as am I. Do you think Dallas knew all week that Romo wasn't playing and that this whole thing was just gamesmanship by Tony Romo and Jerry Jones? Or do you think that they're being truthful and they really, there was treatment and they held out hope and you know, that this was not gamesmanship? What is your gut telling you on this?
I honestly think they held out hope because Tony Romo has played injured before. Now, he's played in injuries that normally people would sit out for a long, long time. I think they're really hoping for that guy to play, and they were doing everything that they possibly could to wait it out to see if they can get him ready. You know, you need a chance to prepare, and, you know, if he's not ready by the day, I mean, they have no other choice but to go with a backup. No, I don't think there was any gamesmanship.
I think they knew he wasn't going to play. I'll be honest with you. I do think they held out a small level of hope that maybe the back would respond to some treatment. But my gut tells me that they went out and signed a backup quarterback for a reason. They went out and they knew that it was extremely unlikely. You know, when Garrett was asked, has the determination made that Tony will not play? I think they knew that it was, you know, 99% positive that he wasn't going to play, but figured there was no problem in holding out hope that a miracle would happen. But it strikes me that the Adam Schefter report that came out Monday was exactly what happened. Adam Schefter reported on ESPN Monday that Tony Romo would be put on injured reserve and out for the season. And it is Friday, and Tony Romo is on injured reserve and out for the season. And he had back surgery. Now, I know, you know, you're a big-time NFL franchise, but, you know, you made the decision late Thursday that he would have back surgery, and you had it scheduled for Friday. It feels to me like they kind of know. Maybe they held out an ounce of hope. Maybe they prayed on it. You know, maybe they got some holy water and splashed it on Romo's back or something. but I think they know. I really do. I think they knew, and I think a lot of it, my opinion, I don't have any inside information on this one. My opinion is they knew, though, and they wanted Philly to have to prepare for two quarterbacks, which to me, ain't nothing wrong with that. Because no matter what they say, those are two different quarterbacks. So, yeah, have Philly prepare for Romo and Orton. I don't see anything wrong with that. You know, we have a call. Let me go ahead and bring in the caller. 310 area code. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
What's up, man? How y'all doing?
Good.
Pretty good.
First, I want to say what's up to Mackenzie. That's my buddy. This is Ty.
Oh, what's up,
Ty?
What's
up, man? Second of all,
you doing too? Vacation.
Yeah, I told you I was going to call in, man, because you know I got to talk about my Chiefs, man.
It's true enough. True enough. Ty's a co-worker to you.
Okay. Does he have a question? You have a question for us or a comment?
No, I don't have a question. All I got to say, I just wanted to say Chief Rock. I'm Chief Rocker on Yahoo. And if anybody have anything to say about the Chiefs, let me know. I'm taking off bets because it's going down. Chiefs going all the way.
The fact that they lost twice to the Broncos doesn't worry you?
Nope, because we don't play them again.
You might. If the Broncos are able to secure, home field through the playoffs, and if you say the Chiefs are going all the way, then it's going to have to go through Denver.
Yeah, but the teams that the Broncos have to play next have nothing to lose, so they're going to go all out to try to injure everybody on the team. And that'll just help us out.
Wishful thinking. Okay. So you think the Chiefs could beat the Broncos in Denver? You think the Chiefs can beat New England in Foxborough?
New England, I know we can beat them for sure.
I don't agree with you, but I appreciate your love.
I think after playing a couple of teams, I think we can beat them.
I don't agree with you, but I appreciate your loyalty. That's what makes the NFL what it is loyal fans like yourself. But I think we've seen over the last 6 weeks or so a very kind of an up and down Chiefs team. They haven't been consistent, and the fact that they lost twice to Denver, I think, is going to come back and prove to be an issue. I do believe Denver's going to win the home field. All they got to do is beat Oakland, and they're the number one seed. I think they're going to go to Oakland and win, and it's going to have to go through Oakland. And I find it hard to believe that the Chiefs can go into Denver and win that game. Maybe, but that's going to be a tough one.
That is going to be a tough one. I agree.
Yeah, I agree with you, but, you know, Andy likes to play mind games. So he probably let those little two wins go on purpose so they can come in with a big head and get upset.
I doubt that. I don't think Andy Reid, 14 years in the NFL.
That's a mean foresight right there.
Yeah, I don't think 14 years in the NFL, and I know Andy Reid very well as his time coaching the Eagles, and I don't know him to ever throw away a game. So I doubt that. But, you know, and not to mention if the Chiefs come in as, I believe they're locked in as a 5 seed. And so, you know, as a 5 seed, you know, they're going to play the number 4 seed. And we don't know who that is just yet. But, you know, could be the Colts, could be the Bengals. You know, they're going to have a tough opening round game potentially in a little more than a week. So. But I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see what your Chiefs are able to do. Anybody listening to the show knows that I rode the Chiefs bandwagon for a while. But, you know, now after going 9-0, they are now 2-4 in their last 6 games. Reality has set in, and we'll see if they can recover.
Well, we'll see. I'll be calling back after we beat the Broncos.
All right,
we will see. All
look
right.
Look forward to hearing from you.
Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
No problem.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see if the Chiefs are able to do it or not. I have a feeling that your friend will not be calling back in, because as in most fans, if their team loses, they don't call back in. They just kind of sit home and listen. So we'll see.
Well, I will say one thing in his defense, history has shown, I mean, previous games this season has shown that definitely the Chiefs are up and down. And they haven't played well against some of the tougher teams in the league, being Denver. You know, they also lost to the Colts, and I believe they dropped one to the Chargers as well. That's the reason why they have 4 losses. But we both know that when it comes to playoffs, sometimes things tend to change and go in the favor of teams that it's just very unexpected. So, you know, for his loyalty, at least they do have a chance.
You're being very nice because you have to go back and work with them. On the other hand,
just telling the truth, dude. Look what the Giants did.
Okay, you're gonna compare the Chiefs did. To the Giants.
What I'm saying is, as long as you get in, you have a chance.
Disagreeing with that. I'm just going off what he said, that Andy Reid threw those games so that the Chiefs.
No.
I mean, come on. You know, if you're going to support your team, Yeah, man. I mean, really. No, I mean, let's be real. And let's call it like it is. You know, that it is possible to have to go to Foxborough and play the Patriots, go to Denver and beat the Broncos. And I mean, I know Andy Reid very well. He makes it to the playoffs pretty regularly. 14 years with the Eagles, 1 Super Bowl. So he doesn't have the playoff pedigree that a Tom Coughlin has. He just doesn't.
If you ask me, their toughest game would not be to face Denver or New England. to me, their toughest game would be the first, would be to face one of those two teams, either Colts or Cincinnati, because both those teams are a lot more even. They're good on both sides of the ball. Both of those teams, they make it tough for you on both sides of the ball. Where in, where with the Denver, I mean, you know, it's definitely all about Peyton Manning. In New England, you know, it's mostly all about Tom Brady.
I'm going to disagree with you, because in the playoffs, to me, it comes down to what I always say: quarterbacking and coaching. And you're going up against, you know, a determined Peyton Manning and a very determined Tom Brady, as opposed to a Colts team or a Bengals team that I think can match up pretty good with. I think that they can match up pretty good with either one of those teams. I really think that those are winnable games for the Chiefs. I think when you look at the Bengals this year, you look at the Colts this year, and you look at the Chiefs, I think the Chiefs have shown that they can play some offense. Alex Smith has shown that he can do more than manage. He can actually put some points on the board. Even though the defense has injuries, it's still a pretty decent defense back there. But when you're going up and you're playing, there's something about the playoffs where I really think having been here and done this matters. And knowing what is coming matters in the playoffs. And I find it hard to believe that, a Cincinnati team, there's a reason why a Cincinnati team, I have to double check this stat, but I think Marvin Lewis has never won a playoff game. 11 years, you know, with all the talent that has come through Cincinnati. Yeah. You know, there's a reason why, because he's in the AFC with teams like the Steelers and the Colts when Manning was there, and the Patriots, you know, with these longtime coaches.
It's been tough for them to even get out of the division, let alone
right.
get to the playoffs.
Well, that's
so, and that's accredited to, you know, the dominance of the Ravens and the Steelers.
Their
team has recently been there, so they know. They know what it's going to be like going back a second time.
But they haven't done it, and that counts. Being there and not getting
it
done.
Well, you got to get chances to go before you can actually do it, right?
If you're not good enough.
You got to have the opportunity to go before you can do it.
But you have to be good enough to get there. So if you're not good enough,
they are good enough to get there. They've proven that. And now this is what their second and third year, or second year.
Yeah, but what's your
the Colts,
right?
Their second year.
Well, I'm talking about the Bengals.
We're talking about the Bengals,
yeah,
but yeah,
yeah,
their second year.
Okay, but Marvin Lewis has been there 11 years, no playoff victories. Okay. And, yeah, I think they went to the playoffs. Did they go last year to the playoffs or the year before?
I believe they went last year.
Okay, so
there were two things that came out of it.
First of all, you have to be good enough to get there. You can't have it both ways and say, well, they have to get there and do it, but they weren't good enough to get there. Well, they have to be good enough to get there. And in the AFC, you know, if they've been playing some juggernaut teams in the AFC, and they haven't been good enough to get there. Now, this year, they're good enough. They're going to be there. I'm saying, in my opinion, that experience and having been here before matters. And it's going to be – I do think the Chiefs will match up good with the Bengals or the Colts. I think that's a game that's winnable to me, because I look at those three teams very similar. But where I – the difference is – when you're playing a Peyton Manning-led team who has been there a number of times, I mean, you know, he doesn't have Brady's record in the playoffs, but he's been to two Super Bowls. He knows what it takes to win in the postseason. Brady definitely knows what it takes under Belichick to win in the postseason. I just think, and if they're home, you know, 1-2 seed, man, it's going to be hard for any of these other seeds.
Okay, with Denver, Peyton Manning has been there, Wes Welker has been there, not everyone else.
Okay. You're talking about Peyton Manning.
I understand, but I'm just saying, if you look as a team concept, there's only two players that have been there multiple times.
Yeah, but we're not talking the kicker and the punter. We're talking about your starting MVP quarterback. We're talking about a guy who has a large influence, certainly has the most influence on the offense, and probably outside of the head coach has the largest influence on that entire team. If there isn't a guy that's going to help that team prepare and get ready for potentially a home field run through the playoffs, it's Peyton Manning. I'm not betting against him. Oh, only team I'll bet against Peyton Manning is Tom Brady, because I still think that right now, and you know, we're kind of jumped way ahead on the agenda a bit, but I still think right now whether the Patriots somehow get the the one or the two, my prediction is Denver's going to be number one, Patriots going to be number two. We're going to see an AFC championship game in Denver between New England and Denver. That's what I think's happening, and I think while these other teams are playing decent football and a competitive, and anything can happen. We're talking predictions here. Anything can happen. I just think that.
But that's my only thing about predictions, and everyone is entitled to what their opinion is. I just think people ride so much on quarterbacks and not enough on team play. And in the playoffs, I've seen way better team play than I've just seen just individual quarterback play. I mean, teams step it up.
Yeah, but train.
It would not be a shock to me if either of those two four horsemen didn't make it to the AFC Championship game.
All right, but there's a reason why that Tom Brady's been to five Super Bowls. You say the same.
I understand. Absolutely.
Okay, so there's a reason with five different teams, you know, with a variety of different players on the team under Belichick. Coaching matters here, too. It's not just the quarterback. I believe I said the quarterback and the coach. And I think that that is a tough combination for anybody in the AFC to overcome. Is these guys have done it year in and year out. They win the division every year. You know, they make it to the playoffs every year. They've been to five Super Bowls, and they know how to get it done. No matter who else is on that roster, they always figure out a way to get it done. That's all I'm saying. Peyton Manning doesn't have quite the history that Tom Brady has, but he seems to always get to the playoffs. He's on his way of getting his fifth MVP, which is just insane. Yes, it's a team he's only been in his second year with. John Fox is certainly, you know, doesn't have the pedigree in the league that Bill Belichick has, but he's smart enough to let Peyton Manning do Peyton Manning, do his thing. And I do think it matters. I do think when you look at the top teams in the NFL over the last decade, With the exception of possibly the Giants, which I still think those defenses really what gave Eli Manning his two Super Bowls. But yet Eli Manning has two. But he has two. I mean, for any Giant fan that argues that point and comes back and says, well, but he has two, I can't argue. But you got Ben with two, you know. You got Brady with three, you know. You've got, you know, the other two four horsemen with one each. You know, and then you sit back and think about the other quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls in the last 10 years, and you got to sit down and really think. You know Flacco because it just happened. But then outside of Flacco, you got to sit down and really think. Outside of, you know, your four horsemen and then the brother of one of the four horsemen, who's left? So I don't think you underestimate. I don't think quarterback play is underestimated. I do think that when you get into these games and you're trying to make a prediction and it is team play and defense and special teams and coaching, I do think that having been there and done that does matter, which is one of the knocks against Tony Romo. He hasn't been there and done that, and I can't argue that point. So all of this was to say I was, as you know, in the Chiefs' corner a lot this year. But I can't ignore the fact that
we both were.
Yeah, but they're 2-6 down the last six games, and I just haven't seen enough from them to feel like they can go in to Denver or go into New England and pull an upset. I just haven't seen enough. And Andy Reid to me is just he's not there yet. He could get there with this team maybe next year. I never saw that from him in Philly though. You know, five NFC East divisions, one Super Bowl appearance. So we will see. But let's backtrack because your boy got us off track here. Let's backtrack for a minute.
All right.
I'm going to finish up with the Cowboys and the Eagles. And, you know, simply stated, one thing I'm really happy about is that the Cowboys are, no one's giving them a chance. And if people weren't giving him a chance before Romo's injury, they're definitely not giving him a chance now. There's no doubt about it. Nick Foles is playing out of his mind, 25 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. You know, we saw the defense lock down Chicago, a very high-powered offense, to 11 points. You know, so you know, Foles has won, I don't know, 6 out of 7, I believe, you know, as a starter over there. They've got Shady McCoy, who's, you know, one of the better running backs in the NFL. Some people saying right now he's probably playing the best of any running back in the NFL. DeSean Jackson's a very tough matchup for anybody. You know, defense playing better. Chip Kelly seems rather confident. You know, there is a swag in Philly right now. You know, and when Philly came out of this game, out of the game against Chicago, you know, they were chanting, "We want Dallas." That's what they were saying. The big rivalry coming to Arlington, Texas, to play the Dallas Cowboys Sunday night, 8:30 NBC, in AT&T Stadium. Tony Romo will not be there. Sean Lee, while not ruled out, my sources tell me he will not play. So a quarterback on the offense and a quarterback on the defense will not be there. You know, this is a team blew a 23-point lead to the Packers at halftime, you know, 8-7. Who had to fight hard to beat a 3-12 Washington team. And so everybody out there says, not only are the Dallas Cowboys going to lose at home, but this one could get ugly, that for 3 years in a row, my Dallas Cowboys, at 8-7 3 years in a row, will go to 8-8 for the third year in a row, lose the game, lose a division, and more than likely, although Jason Garrett might get a reprieve because he doesn't have Tony Romo, but word is that his job may be on the line, even though Jerry Jones is denying that. So I'm going to ask you, Train, instead of me giving my prediction first, I'm going to ask you, Train, because you're not one to mince words. You're not one to tell anybody what they want to hear. Do you think the Dallas Cowboys have a chance, or are you in the mindset that this game's done? The Cowboys, God bless them, but can't do it without Romo. It's over.
Well, T, I am a football realist. To your question, as you phrased it, do they have a chance? Yes. But I think it's in highly favor of the Eagles. I would definitely go with Dallas if Romo was playing. I like the way that guy plays. I don't care about him, you know, about his percentage of wins and losses in the big moments. All I know is that's the best quarterback on that team to get it done. And, you know, his stats, even though stats on everything, they do show that he can play. And I just think without him, it's going to be really, really, really tough, especially with the kind of momentum that the Eagles have going into this game.
Okay. So I know the fans out there want to hear my take on this game. I know you guys do, because who knows the Dallas Cowboys better than Commissioner T, the omniscient one. But I'm going to make you wait, because I'm going to switch gears. We're going to get back to the Cowboys, you know, because there's so many games to talk about that I want to give equal time to some of these other games. But we're going to get back to the Cowboys, and I'm going to give everybody my take on whether I think the Cowboys have a shot or not and why, okay? And remember, I am the omniscient one. If you want to call in, it's 347-838-9525, 347-838-9525. Join us. K-Star is listening, but I do know that he's at work and cannot talk to us, but he is listening. So I just want to say, since he didn't hear us, he was not on the line when we congratulated him, I do want to say again, congratulations to K-Star for winning the EAFL Fantasy Football Championship. And to anybody out there that might be listening on his Facebook page or on his Twitter following, I saw people giving him a hard time about winning. He earned this victory, guys. He knows how to play fantasy football. And I'm just throwing a post out there just backing him up, because people were giving him a hard time. No, the guy knows how to play fantasy football. There's no doubt about it. His second year in our league, first year that he actually got to choose a team, and he goes all the way and wins. And bottom line is he's the champion. And he won in, I believe, at least 2 other leagues that he won in out of 6 that he's in. He wins 3 out of 6. The guy deserves absolutely no hatred There's a reason why he's a co-host on the Madden Voice. He's a football aficionado. Yeah, there's times I give him a hard time because I can. But overall, he knows football. He knows fantasy football. He deserves all the accolades, and he's the champ. That's really the bottom line is he's the champ. Congratulations, K-Star. It's going to be a long off season for Commissioner T. I will always second-guess my decision. But as I've said many times, I lost with Drew Brees as my starter. And I can sleep peacefully knowing that, as opposed to losing with Drew Brees on the bench. So I'm okay. That said, let's switch gears and go to the Packers and Bears. And we are going to talk Steelers, even though K-Star cannot join us. We are going to talk Steelers because they have a shot at the sixth seed. It's a long shot, but they have a shot, so we're going to talk about them too. But before we do that, Aaron Rodgers will be starting. Jay Cutler will be starting. And the Packers at the Bears. And what's interesting about this game is when the announcement was made, the line went from the Packers being down 4.5 points to the Bears to now the Bears, the Packers being favored by 3 points. So a 7.5 point switch just from the announcement, the line in Las Vegas, just from the announcement that Aaron Rodgers is starting. I think that's huge. It just shows the impact. And again, I love Train's line of the Four Horsemen. I steal it all the time because it's so accurate. It shows the impact of one of the Four Horsemen. But Train, I've done a lot of talking. I want you to talk not only about your thoughts on the Bears and Cutler hosting the Packers, but the impact of Rodgers coming back in after missing 7 games. You know, and they announced it today, or I'm sorry, yesterday, that he's starting. How does that make you and Bears Nation feel that Rodgers is coming into Chicago to host this team, to host your arch rival? And talk to us about, you know, your thoughts on the game and, of course, why you think the Bears are going to be able to pull out this win and win the NFC North.
Awesome. Well, first things first, that's huge for Green Bay. To get your starting quarterback back, for your team to fight and actually keep itself in position to actually have an opportunity to get to the playoffs, and then you finally get your main man back at the helm. I mean, it's huge for Green Bay. I think if you're a Bears fan, I think there are two types of Bears fans looking at this game. There are those who are just like, damn, he's back. We put him out. He might be a little upset at that. We really didn't want him to come back. Would have been an easier game for us. And then there are those who are kind of, they're kind of like me. I think it would be no better feeling than for the Packers to come in with their leader and for Chicago to win this game. I think this is the Green Bay Packers team that you want to win, because if he's not there and Chicago wins this game, then all they're saying is, well, yeah, Chicago made the playoff, but they played Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, not the same team. Then you go in the next season and, you know, we're still not the favorite because they still have Aaron Rodgers. So for Aaron Rodgers to be back and for Chicago to have an opportunity to play what I would consider a healthy Green Bay Packers team, as long as Aaron Rodgers is there, I think it's huge. And I think it's big for Chicago if they can pull out this win. I'm excited that he's back because it's a real test of what our team will be able to do going into the playoffs. If we win this game with Aaron Rodgers back, it's huge for Chicago. It's a big momentum boost. It's one of the Four Horsemen. So you got to get up for it. And you're at home. So from that standpoint, huge game for Chicago. And as far as our chances to win, I still think our chances to win are very good. I mean, we still have what I consider a high-power offense. They laid an egg last week, but last week is over. We're going against a division rival, and you have to prepare for it. And when you talk about the way our defense has been playing, Green Bay runs a defense that we're very familiar with. No matter how it's been playing all season, for this division rival game, this is one of the games you know, you understand, you know what the other team is going to do. It's all about execution. So whatever point favor they give Green Bay, they deserve Aaron Rodgers back. But it's definitely going to be a close and tough game for both teams. And I think Chicago has a very good chance of winning as long as their offense continues to move the ball. And the defense just needs to make a few stops. And maybe, just maybe, Shea McClellan can get his hands back on Aaron Rodgers, but they will be looking to protect that guy all game. They will be looking to get the ball out of his hands very quickly so that he doesn't get touched by anyone as far as pass rush.
And can you hear me, Train?
Yes.
Okay, I was having a little technical difficulty for a minute. I would disagree with one thing. You play who comes out on the field. I don't think Philly, for one second, should they win, is going to care. And I don't think their fans are going to care that Romo wasn't in the lineup. I don't think you should care if, or any of your fans, any of the Bears fans or Bears Nation, if Rodgers were not to play. I don't think that's, I mean, particularly since y'all knocked him out. I mean, this is football.
Yeah.
It's a physical game. And if he can't play, he can't play. They put their best 22 out there. You put your best 22. We've certainly seen your backup play at a pretty high level. You know, next man up, as goes around NFL. We've heard Garrett say it. We've heard McCarthy say it. We've heard Tomlin say it. And you know what? That's not your problem. It's not your problem. You know, because what happens if he goes out there and lights y'all up, right? You know, you're not going to say, damn, you know, it don't matter. Your job is to go out there and put your best on the field and beat him. And if he don't play, you beat Flynn or you beat Tolzien or whoever. I don't think fans should care or ask for, I want your best, okay? Because sometimes you may end up regretting that because I'm going to tell you something. Aaron Rodgers is one of the four horsemen. Aaron Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers is going to have a chip on his shoulder because he knows what team put him out of there. And the chance that he gets to go into Chicago, weather ain't going to be an issue because they both play outdoors in cold weather. So that's not going to be an issue, okay? Certainly the fan base will, but you guys have great fans in Chicago, so I expect your fans to step up big time. But weather isn't going to be an issue. You don't think Aaron Rodgers isn't going to go out there with a chip on his shoulder, haven't played in 2 months? Yeah, there might be a little bit of rust, but he's, you know, MVP-level quarterback. He'll scrape that off in a couple of drives. He's going out there determined to bury your team. That's what he wants to do, bury your team, okay? So be careful. I'm not saying you train. I'm saying your fans, what you ask for. We want you at your best. No, you don't. You wanted him sitting home, you're sitting on the sideline in a parka with headphones on, holding a clipboard. That's what you wanted. I'm sorry. You want to get into the postseason no matter what. That's what you, it don't matter. I never prescribe to that, I want to beat you at your best theory. Hey, if your best comes, then let's do it. I ain't got no problem with that. But if you're hurt and you're injured and you can't play, oh well, because you're not going to be sympathizing with me if I'm hurt. I will tell you now, Philly will have no apologies for whooping up on Dallas without Tony Romo and Sean Lee. They could give two craps about it. I would just suggest to Bears Nation, if in fact you're right, they should have the same attitude. If Rodgers ends up not playing or gets knocked out or whatever, oh well. But that being said, I think the fact that they have announced that he is going to play after 8 weeks. I said he wouldn't play again means that he's healed. You know, the collarbone has healed effectively, and I think he's going to be playing well. And I think it's going to be a great game. And Trey, take a minute. I'm not giving my prediction just yet, but take a minute and just for people that live in Iraq and tell us just a minute, brief minute, about the Bears-Packers rivalry. I mean, this is such a rivalry that you actually thought that this game would get flexed to Sunday night, which I don't blame you for thinking that because it is a huge rivalry. So, you know, it's a 4:30 game, and it's a huge, huge game. But just for a minute, talk about the rivalry between the two teams.
Wow. Goes back well before I was born. I can't remember exactly when it got started, but I mean, if no other game in the season matters to any team, it's this one. And every player with every team will tell you that the minute you become a Packer, you hate the Bears. The minute you become a Bear, you hate the Packers. It's just it's innate. It's built in as soon as you sign the contract. I mean, it's a rival where the Bears dominated early on before the Packers picked up a history of quarterbacks, and both Brett Favre and then next Aaron Rodgers. Before then, you know, it was a lot of Chicago, but man, it's been a very long, probably the biggest rival of the NFL. I would say the biggest rival of the NFL, and the longest rival in the NFL. But it's definitely fueled by just a little bit of nastiness and a little bit of hate that's all left out on the field now. But yeah. One that you have to see no matter what the records of the team are, no matter what they're playing for.
Do you think that Trestman understands this rivalry? I always wonder when you have a coach that comes in for the first year like this, I just wonder, and especially this gentleman not having any NFL background, playing mm-hmm. coach in Canada, do you think he truly, in your opinion, and this is an honest question, I'm not saying he does or doesn't, I don't know. You know, mm-hmm. you're my Bears insider. You think he truly grasps, you know, and I think it's important that people understand. Do you think he really gets the history here of this rivalry and how significant the fact that, and let me just, before you answer that question, let me just say this, speaking of rivalries and division games, in case people don't know, Week 17 is all division games. The NFL, when they changed the format and went to 17 weeks as opposed to 16 mm-hmm. weeks, they made Week 17 all division games because they wanted that last week to mean something. Even if there are teams that aren't going into the playoffs, they wanted it to be, you know, you've got a Buffalo team that's out playing a Patriot team. That's a division game. You know, you got a Cleveland team that's out playing a Pittsburgh team. That's a division game. You know, you got a Falcon team that's out playing a Carolina team, division game. You know, 13 of the 16 games impact the playoffs. In the NFC, there are no division champions yet, which is unheard of going into the last week. No division champions yet. No one has clinched the division yet. And all these division games are going to decide all the seedings in Week 17. So hats off
that's
to the
amazing.
NFL. Hats off.
Yeah.
Whoever came up with that.
Absolutely.
Kudos. As a fan, and I don't know if fans out there understand this, but wow, you know, we can certainly crack on the NFL for a lot of things, but hats off to the NFL for doing that. But anyway, so on the fact that this is a division game, do you think Trestman truly understands the significance of this game?
To answer your question, T, I'm going to do a bit of a comparison. In short, yes, I do think he understands, but when I saw Lovie Smith get hired, and that's really when I started following Chicago, like, really, really closely, he came in the door saying, we're going to beat the Green Bay Packers. That was, like, the first words of his press conference, his very first press conference. And I would say Trestman understands, but I'm not sure if he has that same understanding that Lovie Smith had when he was hired, that you have to beat this team. Whether it's in one to get a hold of this division, and that's pretty much what Lovie Smith did coming in to get a hold of this division. He beat Green Bay Packers several times before their quarterback changed, before Aaron Rodgers matured and became a starter. So I would say he understands, but I haven't seen anything in his words or any press conferences that show me that he gets it as much as Lovie Smith did when he was our coach. If that makes sense. Oh, hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm right here. Yeah, I and again, I wonder if he understands. I guess we'll find out. But on the other hand, do you think that there are players on the team that can help him? If he's not getting it, if the intensity is not there, are there players on the team that can bring them there? Do you think, you know, that you guys,
yeah.
you know, there's no Urlacher, which I know he would be one, but who do you think on that team might be the lead cheerleader in really stepping up and helping Trestman and the coaching staff understand, not only is this for the division, but this is our rival, this is a huge game?
Well, for one, since Tristan is on the offensive side of the ball, Brandon Marshall will let him know. Brandon Marshall said it himself. You know what I'm saying? I hate these guys. He, as soon as he signed his contract as a Bear, he hated the Packers. I appreciate him for that. If anybody else, it'll be Lance Briggs. He's another veteran that's been with Chicago his whole career. He understands his rival probably better than any player on that team. Another one would be Roberto Garza. You know what I'm saying? He's our unknown senator. Nobody hears his name much, but he's been with Chicago, you know what I'm saying, the whole time, going up against the Packers. Played at guard. Now he's our starting center for the past two, 3 seasons. So there are some players that will that let him know, hey, this is huge. Charles Tillman may be injured, but, yeah, he will let Mel Tucker know we got to beat this team. We got to get to Aaron Rodgers.
That's good. That's
even
good.
Yeah,
Peppers. Forgot about Peppers. Yeah. You're right. All right. All right. Let's move on. Some of these I think are pretty simple. You've got Denver at Oakland. If Denver wins, number one throughout the playoffs. Frankly, Denver wins in my opinion. What do you think? You think Oakland has any shot at derailing the Broncos, even though Denver is at home? I love the fact that some of these games, you know, like you got Denver playing for the number one seed, but they're going to Oakland to play in the black hole. I love that because I think that's going to make the game a little bit better than if they were in Denver. I think it's a complete way they're playing in the black hole. So you think
Oakland's going to put together their best, but, you know, I don't see Denver laying an egg in this one. And not securing that home field advantage. I think they understand. I think definitely Peyton Manning and John Fox and the team understands how important it is to secure home field. And you're one win away from, you know, it's a division team, but it's definitely not one of the better teams in the league. You're one win away. You're going to get it.
We've got the Patriots versus Buffalo for the number two seed. You know, if I am correct, if Denver loses and the Patriots win, then the Patriots get the number one seed. Is that what you believe too, Train? Is that
I do believe that to be the case.
It's funny because yesterday when I was preparing what we were going to talk about, NFL Mobile, NFL, the app, had a nice little thing that I can't find today on all of the playoff scenarios, and it's really irritating me. But I believe that that is the case, that if the Patriots, because Denver lost to New England, the Patriots would go to 12-4. Denver goes to 12-4, and I believe that means that the Patriots would get number one seed throughout the playoffs. Because they actually could have given themselves the inside track had they won against Miami, and they lost that game. So I do believe that that is the case.
Yeah, they would because they have a tied record, and Patriots would get the head to head.
Right. All right. So I think Buffalo certainly has a better chance than Oakland, but it's in New England. And frankly, if it was in Buffalo, I don't know. Buffalo could pull an upset, division game, something to play for. Buffalo's had some pretty good games this year, but they're not going to beat. They're not going to beat New England in New England. So, agreed.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. I don't think so. New England is, you know, I'm not sure. I think the games probably play at the same time, but New England is going there to win.
Yeah. Now we get to one of the more intriguing storylines in the league, which is the sixth seed. Okay, and no team. Now, let me just recap for a minute. Patriots have won their division. If they win, they have the two seed without a doubt. If they win and Denver loses, they have the one seed. Okay, the Broncos win, number one seed throughout. Okay, so let's just assume for argument's sake, the one and the two have been decided. That leaves the Bengals and the Colts to decide 3 and 4. And I believe if the Bengals win, they would get the 3 and the Colts would get the 4 if both teams win. I believe the Bengals hold the tiebreaker over the Colts. I'm not 100% sure, but I believe they hold the tiebreaker over the Colts. So that's how we're looking there. But those are your 4. Those are your 4 seeds. The Chiefs have already been locked into a 5 seed based on the fact that they can't win a division, and none of these potential 6 seeds have a record anywhere close to the Chiefs. So the Chiefs are locked into the 5 seed. That's the only team locked in right now in the AFC is the Chiefs at a 5 seed. So the 6 seed is the only spot to be determined, and that right now is between Miami, Baltimore, San Diego, and Pittsburgh. Those are the 4 teams fighting for that final playoff spot right now. And Miami, they play the Jets in New York, and they need to win. And none of these teams control their own destiny, which is really interesting. But Miami needs to win, and they need Baltimore or San Diego to lose. Now, there's a lot of scenarios that involve ties. Since ties are so rare, I'm not even going to bother talking about those. Okay, we're just going to talk about wins and losses, okay? But if you want to go to NFL.com or whatever and look at all the possible scenarios, be my guest. We just don't have time. So that's how Miami gets in. They got to win. Baltimore loses or San Diego loses. Baltimore gets in if they win and San Diego or Miami loses. San Diego gets in if they win. Miami and Baltimore have to lose. And then probably the longest shot of them all, but still alive, the K-Star's very own Pittsburgh Steelers, they have to win, and they have to beat Cleveland at home. So they are playing, Pittsburgh is playing at home. And Miami, who's playing the Jets, have to lose. Baltimore, who's playing Cincinnati in Cincinnati, has to lose. And San Diego, who's playing the Chiefs, who really have nothing to play for, has to lose. So, Train, with those scenarios, and I don't know if you've had a chance to really look at them all, do you have a prediction on who's going to be your 6th seed in the AFC?
Man. I look at who they play for their last game, and I'm favoring really 2 teams at the moment, and it's Miami and the Chargers. I just think Baltimore has a very tough matchup going up against the Bengals, and Pittsburgh needs way too much. Pittsburgh needs 3 losses. I like the Chargers do have a chance at home against Kansas City with their up and down play. Kansas City is already locked. They're already locked into their spot. They can't go no further than 5. Nothing their win would do would get them. But the Chargers know they need to win in order to have a shot. The Dolphins may have the more favorable, but they definitely laid an egg the week before against the Bills. So, it's possible they can lay another egg against the Jets, but they do have the more favorable game. So if I had to go with one team that would have a shot with their consistency and maybe with a little bit of history of this season, I'd have to go with the Chargers because they've beaten the Chiefs before.
Problem with the Chargers is they need Baltimore to lose. Oh, I'm sorry. No, Baltimore will lose, actually, that game. They need Miami to lose. I don't think Miami's going to lose at home against the Jets. I'm sorry. I did say it was in New York. It's actually in Miami. I apologize. I don't think the Jets are going to go to Miami and beat Miami. I'd have to say Miami right now has the inside track based on the fact that they're home against the Jets, and I believe they're going to beat the Jets. Rex Ryan is already on his way out the door. Thanking the fans and all that other crap. Baltimore is going to play Cincinnati in Cincinnati. I don't see them beating Cincinnati in Cincinnati. I'm not sure what Cincinnati has to play for. My guess is they're playing for seeding, either third or fourth seed. And San Diego, well, at that point, it's a moot point. San Diego, if they win and Miami wins, then Miami gets in. But it doesn't matter, because if Miami wins and Baltimore loses, Miami's in. I think Miami has a very winnable game against the Jets at home. And I think that I don't see Baltimore going into Cincinnati and beating Cincinnati. I just don't see that happening. So for that reason right there, it's a done deal. That scenario puts Miami in at the sixth seed. And you got to take your hat off to Philbin and that organization with everything they've gone through over the last 2 months to actually have made a run, including upsetting the Patriots, to put themselves in a position to get into the tournament. You got to get their hats off that they're even relevant at week 17, because many teams going through that would have folded up and packed their tents and and died, and they've been very resilient, and hats off to them. Let's talk for a minute, since K-Star's not here, about his Steelers' chances, because we would be remiss if we didn't at least give the Steelers some airtime. Well, first they have to beat Cleveland. They're at home. Another team that's been resilient through injuries and some really poor gameplay early on. Hats off to Tomlin to get this team in a shot to actually, you know, have a chance at a sixth seed when we all thought, including K-Star, thought they were dead. So I think they beat Cleveland. I think they're going to handle their business and beat Cleveland. And I believe they're 7-8, and I believe that would make them 8-8 this year, which I believe they were last year. So I think they beat Cleveland. The problem is they need Miami to lose at home to the Jets. They need Baltimore to lose, which Baltimore I think will lose. They need Kansas City to lose. I'm sorry, to win, which I think. So I think Baltimore loses. I think San Diego loses. I think where they end up missing out is I don't see the Jets beating Miami in Miami. And I think that's what keeps Pittsburgh. I think everything else would fall into place except that one game. I don't think San Diego beats Kansas City. They could. It's certainly a division game, and I believe they already beat them the first time around, which is why I don't think they'll beat them now. But I think when you look at all of these games, it comes down to Miami losing for any of these other teams to get in. Miami's got to lose, and I just don't see Miami losing to the Jets. The Jets are more dysfunctional than Miami, frankly, and I don't see it. I don't see it. But the beauty is, it's going to be very interesting to watch. It really makes Sunday bigger than just the Cowboys, Eagles, Packers, Bears. It really does. So
it does, man. Very exciting Sunday coming up.
Yeah. And, you know, part of me wouldn't mind seeing the Cowboys, the Bears, and the Steelers all in the playoffs. Part of me wouldn't mind having a show, and I'm assuming we're going to shoot for Monday night again to do a show, and we'll get back to everybody as a time. But part of me wouldn't mind being able to come on here Monday night, New Year's Eve, and talk smack about which one of our teams has the best chance to make some noise in the playoffs. It would really be nice. And Train and I are certainly in the best position. We win, we're in. And K-Star needs to win, and he needs some help. But, you know, it's just as a fan of the game and fan of the show, and my brothers on the Madden voice, man, it would be nice if all three of our teams could make it to the postseason. But I'm sorry, K-Star, I don't think you. I think your Steelers just let a few too many games go early on. I don't see it happening. But mathematically, they're still alive. All right, before we look at the NFC, going to get back to the Cowboys and the Eagles. And since I've made everybody wait, because I can, I will remind you that it's 347-838-9525, Twitter, Facebook. You know how to catch us. Honestly, if people want my honest opinion, if I'm a betting man, you got to pick the Eagles in this game. There's nothing that makes you feel comfortable about picking the Cowboys at home against the Eagles. Nothing. They beat them 17-3 earlier in the year. It's a different Eagles team now than it was then. You don't have your franchise quarterback. You don't have your Pro Bowl middle linebacker. The defense is giving up on pace to give up an NFL record in yards. You know, Monty Kiffin's defense is not shown to be effective. You know, there are other injuries deeper than just Sean Lee and Tony Romo. And you have to sit back and say that when you look at the last 2 months of football, who's been playing better football between the Eagles and the Cowboys? The Eagles, hands down. So you have to put your money on the Eagles. So I can't sit here in a clear conscience and just say the Cowboys are going to roll and win this game. I can't say that because then I would be disingenuous to my craft of being an NFL analyst. But what I can say is this. Kyle Orton, I believe, is the highest paid backup in the NFL. There's a reason for that. He has started 69 games in this league. He does know the offense. He does know the personnel. He's not a guy. This is not his first year as a backup. This is his third year as a backup. Or I'm sorry, second year as a backup. Jason Garrett as a head coach was also a former quarterback. So if there's anybody that can get Orton ready on another level, it's Jason Garrett, being that he was a quarterback in this league for this very Dallas Cowboys team and is the offensive coordinator. I don't care what you say about Bill Callahan. It's Jason Garrett's offense. So this isn't like a Belichick coach team where Belichick's the defense or Lovie Smith was the defense. This is a coach who this is his offense. So who better to get Kyle Orton ready? You've got a security blanket in John Kitna who knows the personnel, who knows the offense. So you've got a capable backup who can go in there and move this ball in case Orton shows to be ineffective. I think the defense has been very much maligned, and I think they stepped up against the Redskins, held them to 23 points, and also stopped them on the last two drives to allow Dallas to come out and win that game. I think there's a lot of pride on that defense that they're not going to sit there and just roll over and let Foles come in there and put up a 40-burger or a 50-burger. It may happen, but it's not going to be without a fight. I also think that the last 2 years, Dallas is 8-7 going into the last game to win the division. And both of those games were on the road, and both of those games they lost. They lost to the Giants 2 years ago, and they lost to the Redskins last year. And Jason Garrett was coaching both of those, so there's some continuity here. There are 22 players on this roster that was on this roster 2 years ago when they lost to the Giants. So they know how it feels because they've done it 2 years in a row. They are at home, and for the first time maybe ever, I heard Jason Garrett appeal to the fans to show up. He could be looking for a New Orleans or Seattle-like atmosphere to level the playing field. Fans, we need you. This is a big game. I think Jason Garrett in his heart knows that there is a chance that he could get fired if he loses this game. And frankly, he would deserve it. 8-8, 3 years in a row. 3 years in a row, you have a chance to go to the playoffs in the last game of the season, and you lose against a division rival each year, 3 years in a row. There's nothing there that says keep this guy as a head coach. I'm sorry. DeMarco Murray has been playing probably his best stretch of football since joining the Cowboys. So clearly they're going to want to run the ball. Offensive line has played very well. It's a shame that Romo's out because of a back injury. Yet, you know, the line has been playing really well and giving Romo time, and I'm sure Orton will get time too. But Murray's been playing well. He's been getting holes. He's been running the ball well. That means that you can limit the number of times that the Eagles have the ball. I think we saw the defense take some chances against the Redskins that we hadn't seen earlier in the year. You know why? Because Jerry Jones asked for that. So while a betting man would go for the Eagles, there comes a point in time where there's a time for a team to stand up and say, it's our day. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that this is the time that the Cowboys stand up and say, this is our day. We are at home. We have confidence that Orton can move this ball with this team. He's got all the weapons. He's probably got more weapons now than he's ever had as a quarterback. He started 69 games, so he's no scrub. Chip Kelly's in his first year. I don't know that he gets the Dallas-Philly rivalry. I think he does. I'm not totally sure he does. He hasn't said things to me in his press conferences that had me believe that he truly understood. So he's going to need DeSean Jackson and Michael Vick and some of these guys to really educate him on how big this game is, not just to get into the playoffs, but this is our division rivalry. We get to bury them and send them home. The Cowboys know. Oh, they know. So I would just say, Cowboy Nation, don't fret. Relax. Dallas has a shot here. Dallas has a good chance here. As a matter of fact, watch the first quarter. Dallas can go down and score first, whether it's 3 or 7, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether they get the ball first or not. If Dallas puts the first points on the board, they're going to win this game. If Philly puts the first points on the board, I'm worried. Okay? That's all I got to say about the Cowboys and the Eagles. Go Cowboys. Let's shift to the NFC. Seattle wins or San Francisco loses. Let's shift to the rest of the NFC. Seattle wins or San Francisco loses. Seattle has the number one seed. San Francisco goes to Arizona, a very losable game for the 49ers. Arizona could finish the season at 11-5 and not make the playoffs, which you really, as a fan of the game, you have to look at that and say, is that even fair? I mean, it's the way the system is, but God, you know, a team that goes to Seattle and beats Seattle in Seattle and could finish 11-5 and not make the playoffs. Wow. That said, Train, do you see Seattle not getting the number one seed?
Let's see. Seattle has to lose, and San Francisco wins.
If San Francisco wins,
Seattle plays St. Louis.
Right now, it's between Seattle, Carolina, and San Francisco for the number one seed.
Carolina can get the number one. No, Carolina can't get the number one seed.
Yes, they can.
How they're 11-4, and they've lost the tiebreaker to. They would lose the tiebreaker to Seattle.
Why?
Because they lost the head-to-head matchup against Seattle, first game of the season.
I saw yesterday that they can still win the number one seed if they win, and Seattle loses, and San Francisco wins. I saw that yesterday.
But I don't see how that pans out. You understand what I'm saying, right? They will be 12-4. Seattle will be 12-4. San Francisco will be 12-4. But Carolina they lost to Seattle. I guess with San Francisco being 12-4, that must help them some kind of way. Well, NFL knows it better than I can. But, yeah, I think that's a possibility Seattle can lose home field. I think they're going up against a feisty St. Louis Rams team. Uh-oh, hello? T? Uh-oh. See you there?
Oh, I'm here. You got me?
Yeah.
I was saying I got a text from K-Stars. excuse me. Divisional record, then conference record. But I found what I was looking for yesterday. Oh, really? You know, sometimes I hate NFL.com because you go to a webpage and they play a video. I don't want to hear the video. If I wanted to hear the video, I would click play. You know? Like, seriously.
Mm.
Somebody needs to tell them about that. I don't want to see your video. If I wanted to see it, I would click on it. All right. Yes, and I was right. So it's still there. Carolina clinches home field advantage throughout the NFC playoffs with a win and a Seattle loss and a San Francisco win. And according to K-Star,
okay, so it must be the San Francisco game that helped
divisional
them
record,
with their win.
Divisional record and then conference record. So maybe head-to-head is not the first tiebreaker in this particular
situation.
It's
head-to-head is the first if there's only two of you. If
okay.
there are three of you, I believe that's where it comes in at.
Gotcha. All right. So, that said, the original question still stands. So that we finally cleared that up, Seattle wins number one seed. San Francisco loses Seattle number one seed. Okay? So Seattle has the easiest road for the number one seed. Okay? Carolina has to win. Seattle has to lose. And San Francisco wins. Carolina gets the number one seed. San Francisco can get the number one seed if they win. Seattle and Carolina loses. So clearly, when it comes to, a path, Seattle controls their own destiny. They win number one seed. They are home against the Rams. I'm going to be honest, Trey. I'm really surprised that you think the Rams have a shot to beat Seattle in Seattle.
I do. I really do.
After they just lost their friend.
I'm sorry, man.
Okay.
I do.
Yeah. Seattle's going to whoop up on them boys. Okay. The number one seed is on the line. Pete Carroll's going to have that stadium rocking. Last week, Arizona's a potential playoff team. The Rams are not. I don't see the – I mean, yeah, the Rams have had some decent games. They've also laid some eggs this year. I think this is going to be at least 14 points, if not more. I'm sorry, Train. I'm going to just respectfully disagree. They coming into Seattle. Seattle knows what's on the line. They know that they can be home for the whole playoffs. And Pete Carroll, as great of a coach as he's shown to be over the last 2 years, these boys are going to go out with a mission. And the best thing in the world that could have happened is they lost last week. That's a wake-up call. Now you know you're vulnerable. Now he's gonna wake these boys up. I think he's going to wake these boys up. Carolina wins.
Indeed.
They get the number two seed. New Orleans loses. They get the Carolina gets the number two seed. Now, New Orleans cannot get the number one seed, but they can get the number two seed if they win. And Carolina loses. Carolina is playing the Falcons in Atlanta. What are your thoughts on the number two seed between Carolina and New Orleans, potentially the number two seed?
I think Carolina solidifies that. I mean, you control your own destiny. You win and you have it. You have the division and at least the number two seed automatic. So, I like their chances at home against an Atlanta team that's played very poorly this season.
I don't think they're home, though.
They're
at Atlanta, I am sure.
Yeah. Oh, I still like their chances. I still like their chances against Atlanta.
Yeah, I agree. Atlanta just isn't very good this year. And, the division game is going to be great, but I think Carolina's going to win, and I think they're going to get the number two seed. New Orleans, unfortunately for them, they're looking at a wild card. They should beat Tampa, and Drew Brees needs to have a great game because I'm in another championship game on Sunday, and I have Drew Brees, and my opponent has Peyton Manning. So I need Drew Brees to really light it up against Tampa. At home, which I expect them to do. I expect New Orleans to take care of business, and, they're going to win and get their playoff spot. And the only way that Arizona gets in is if New Orleans loses and then Arizona has to beat San Francisco.
It's a tough road to travel.
Yeah. I don't see either of those happening. I think San Francisco – I think it's going to be a great game. I think that could be a game that steals the weekend. But I just think San Francisco is a better team. I think it's going to be a great game. I think San Francisco goes into Arizona and wins, 27-24 type of game.
I will say this, though, it is shocking that, you know, for New Orleans to have played as well as they played this season, you know, with a few hiccups here and there, that they are in a position where they could actually not make the playoffs. You know, just mathematically, not saying that it will happen, but to be in that position is just a bit surprising. And it's definitely through Carolina stepping up as big as they did down the stretch to win a lot of games and getting that split.
Yeah.
I love the NFL.
Well, yeah. And you know, I agree with you completely. You know, you get a situation where, you know, if you look at the standings, you know, a New Orleans or an Arizona, one of them ain't getting in the playoffs. You know, and yet you have the Cowboys who, you know, at 9-7, you know, the Bears at 9-7, you know, could get in the playoffs. So, I mean, it is amazing when you see teams that could potentially be sitting at as high as 11-5 sitting home. But, you know, that's the NFL. And that's why unlike basketball, unlike baseball, NFL with 16 games on the season, every single game matters. That's why I dispute the whole big game theory. They're all big games. Now, maybe now
they are,
you know, huge games because now there is a direct result of winning or losing on Sunday. But that direct result was set up by what happened all year long. And if
exactly.
You know, let's take my very own Cowboys who lost 3 games by 1 point. You know, if they win even one of those games or two of those games, we're not having this conversation, right? You know, so, I mean, every single
exactly.
game is important. And so people that sit back and say, oh, well, that game didn't matter. There's only 16. They all matter. Every one of them counts. You know?
Every last. That's why teams go out there and play so hard regardless of who their opponent is, because they know down the stretch, you know, when it's tight and you need one or two games here or there to lock in your playoff spot. You know, the players would. I think any player in the league will tell you, yeah, we'd rather have it up before week 17.
Yeah.
This locked up before week 16.
Oh absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the fact that we are in week 17 and nothing is definitively decided is amazing to me, because that's not common. And like I said, you know, 13 out of 16 games means something, has an impact, you know, this weekend, which is great for the NFL and for NFL fans. It's great. And, you know, I've said it earlier and I'll say it again, hats off to the NFL for creating a system where week 17 is all division games, because without that,
yeah.
we're not having this conversation. So,
and to our dear friend, Adam, in Australia. Yeah, Adam. It's the P word that causes this. It's parody. Yeah. The words you don't like, it's parody that causes this. So, hats off to parody, Adam. Hats off to parody.
Well, you notice that guys that don't like parody, and nothing against Adam, he's, you know, a very solid follower, but guys that don't like parody are guys that have never been on a franchise that was dominant. You know, I certainly have been on a, you know, my franchise has had a dominant period. K-Star's franchise has had a dominant period. I mean, the 85 Bears certainly looked like they were going to be dominant for a while. And the Redskins have never had a period where, you know, you could say that they were going to be dominant for a while, you know. So, hey, I ain't got no problem with a parity. But free agency back in 94 is what really helped bring parity into the league. You know, before that, you know, you saw a lot more dynasties. You're seeing them less. I mean, the Patriots are the closest thing we have now to a dynasty. You know, but yet, you know, they've been to 5 Super Bowls. They've won 3. But they've lost 2 to the Giants, you know. So, I mean, you know, that's the closest thing we have to a dynasty right now. But hats off to Belichick in a free agency era to coach and oversee a team that every year is relevant, that every year gets it done. I just wonder when Tom Brady retires, whenever that is, if Bill Belichick's going to go off into the promised land with him. You know, does he leave when Tom Brady leaves? Because clearly that's his meal ticket, you know. Saint, I see you out there. You were a minute ago. You wanted to come on, and then now you don't. I don't know, but we're about to wrap up. So if you've got something you want to say, press the one button. I'll bring you on. If not, I'm going to head over to Dr. Train and get some final thoughts. Dr. Train. Oh, hold
yeah,
that.
Still here,
hold
man.
That. Hold that. He does want to come on. Saint. One of the teams that has nothing to play for this weekend, the Tennessee Titans. But anyway, welcome to the Madden Voice.
Oh, hold on now. I'm a Philadelphia fan, too. I wanted to know why I missed the whole front part of your show. I've been waiting for it all week, man. If you could sum up how you feel about the Philly game coming up on Sunday and the whole Romo thing, do you feel good about them, or are you scared about the game? And I want to know with Train, I want to know what you thought about the game. Well, I was going to text you during the game last week, but I tell you, I was scared all the way to the last minute, to be honest with you. Well, maybe to the third quarter. But I want to know what y'all think about the game. If it's too late, man, if I need to go look at the archive, you go listen to the podcast,
We'll give you a brief summary.
I can give you a quick rundown. What do you think?
Yeah, we give a brief summary. Real quick. I don't feel good about this game. I have no reason to feel good about the game. The Cowboys have been inconsistent all year. Romo's not playing, and whatever you say about Romo, he's a franchise quarterback. He's the playmaker. They wouldn't be in this situation without Romo and some of the things he's done this year. So you can't feel good about losing your franchise quarterback done for the season. You can't feel good about Sean Lee probably done as well, probably for the season, if definitely not for Sunday, and that's your Romo on defense. Philly's playing at a very high level, very confident. Foles, 25 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. We saw what they did to the Bears and annihilated the Bears. I don't mean to rub it in, Train, but, you know, that's what is on my mind, is what they did to the Bears in a game that meant nothing standings-wise, and they went out there and just annihilated them. But I will say this. I expect Dallas to fight. They're home. I expect the fans to show up. I expect Kyle Orton, who is a seasoned backup, who knows this offense, to play well. I expect John Kitna to be ready to go in. Yeah, he's 41 years old, but he hasn't played in 2 years. He knows the offense. He's ready to go if they need him. I'd like to see DeMarcus Ware and Jason Hatcher step up. Dwayne Harris, our special team superstar, will be back. Maurice Claiborne, our first-round draft pick at cornerback, will be back for this game. So Dallas is putting on the field.
Let me ask you this. I know this kind of noise sounds stupid, but do you really care? I know you're going to root for your team.
You're breaking up. Can you say it again?
Saint, did we lose you?
Saint?
Uh-oh.
Man, that was a good – I thought that was going to be a good question, too. Yeah, we lost him. We'll give him a minute. He was about to ask me if I cared, but I couldn't catch – could you catch it? I couldn't catch – what he was asking me about.
No, I couldn't get the tail end of that. I believe it was about to be a good question.
Yeah, I believe it was too. Why don't we give him a minute to see if he dials back in? And he is dialing back in, so let's see if we got him now. Saint, can we hear you?
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. I lost signal right there. Can you hear me?
All right. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was saying, how much do you really care about this game? I mean, would it be a huge success to you? Would you feel good if y'all made it to the playoffs? Do you really not care? I mean, I know you want your team to win, but how do you feel about it? Does it mean?
Of course
it
I want to. What are you smoking? What are you drinking?
If they go to the playoffs,
what substances are you inhaling
anything
into your body?
I'm not going to do nothing, man.
Wait a minute. What do you mean it's not going to mean anything? It's the playoffs. What are you talking about? We can get out of the division.
Uh-oh. Hello?
Break it up. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Come on, T, man. They're not going to do nothing in the playoffs with that Romo.
Okay, that's your opinion. But guess what? There is. And we've seen the Steelers at 60 go all the way with no one anywhere. We've seen the Giants go all the way. Go anywhere. So I'd rather be in it and have people saying how they're not going anywhere than sitting home saying how they didn't go anywhere and how they put again for the third year in a row. Absolutely, I want this game. Absolutely, something to me. Winning the division? Absolutely. A home game next week?
I'll deal with next week. I'll give my opinion on whoever the Cowboys are, and we'll talk about it then. But I'd rather be sitting in Bristol, Connecticut, talking about my Cowboys hosting a playoff game than to be sitting here in Bristol, Connecticut, upset that they didn't win. And for 3 years in a row, they're at 8-8, and they lost to their division rival. And the Eagles go into the playoffs to host the playoff game, and the Cowboys are sitting home getting ready for next year. Oh, hell no. Yes, this game is very important. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, you called it right, lad. I hate that Tony Romo was not playing. I thought it was going to be an excellent game. And you called it so well last time they played. You said you wasn't afraid of Nick Foles. You know, he hasn't done anything. But obviously, going into this game, you would feel a little differently, even if Tony Romo was playing, right?
Oh, absolutely. Don't get me wrong. Fear isn't the word. Respect is now the word. He has earned my respect. 25 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's playing at a very high level. And so now, where that first game, he hadn't done anything, and the Cowboys completely shut him down until they knocked him out at the end of the third quarter. This game, he's shown to be a solid quarterback. He's shown to have good command of that offense, good command of Chip Kelly's scheme, and at 6'6", which is the same height as Peyton Manning, he can make all the throws. He can go over the defense. He's shown a little bit of mobility and agility back there. I mean, he's a player. You know, this guy makes plays. And so, absolutely, he is someone now to recognize back there where the first game, I said, he ain't done nothing yet. So talk to me when he's done something. Well, he's done something. You know, played some really good game. And, I don't think Dallas takes this guy like I think that other game, it doesn't matter. I don't think it matters. I think what Dallas that is the Minnesota-Philly game, 48-30, Minnesota over Philadelphia. I think that's the game that you look at. What did Minnesota do to get 48 points on Philly, and how did Philly pulls in that offense? That first game is irrelevant. It's out the window. All it is, it's a means to an end, because if you win that game, you're not in a position to win the division and be 6-0 in the division. But as far as learning anything from that game, you're not going to learn anything, because Foles is a much better quarterback now than he was in that game. So, absolutely, he is someone to respect. Not afraid of, but respect, absolutely.
Let me hear from you, Train. Where you go?
Train,
I'm still here, man.
What'd you say, man?
Just real quickly, it would have been nice to go ahead and finish off Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers, but, hey, he's back. You knew you had to prepare for a tough game anyway, because this is a division rival game, and it is the Packers. And Matt Flynn was starting to get hold of that offense, but now Aaron Rodgers is back, so it's not something that Chicago's not familiar with. It's really going to come down to how well Chicago offense plays, as it's been playing throughout the season, minus the egg that we laid last week. That's an anomaly. We get past that. This is a division rival game, so you get up for it, and the defense just needs to show up, period. You know, they showed up a little bit against Dallas. They're going to have to show up a lot more against Green Bay, because Aaron Rodgers, now they fall.
Are you still going to be stubborn and back up your boy?
And back up their color? Absolutely. Yeah. Why shouldn't I?
Oh, man, you've been stubborn about him since the first base. You don't think your boy
We're looking for a future franchise quarterback. And if it's not Jay Cutler, then we're going to have to take a shot in the dark in the draft, because it's not going to be McCown. McCown's a stopgap. He's great. If Cutler doesn't pan out, he's great for a couple years until we find that guy, but he's not the future of the franchise. They need a future of the franchise, and they're looking for Jay Cutler to be that guy. So, yeah, this is his interview right here. This is the game where he needs to step up and play and get this offense to going.
This is easy. Cutler wins. Bears win. Cutler is re-signed, without a doubt.
Exactly.
And I believe that they're going to try to keep McCown. He's 34 years old. Okay, he's not going to
get
a party.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think both of these guys.
Who do you feel like got a better chance to win this game tomorrow? I mean, I'm sorry, on Sunday. Who gets a better chance to win this next game? Is it Cutler or McCown?
I don't think it really matters. But I will,
really?
just to intrigue your question, I'm just going to say Cutler.
Okay.
You know what, and I'm going to agree with Train, because – We had an earlier conversation that you probably missed when I talked about having been there and going there. We were talking about Kansas City and the postseason and how, you know, I think it matters that, you know, Denver, well, at least Peyton Manning has been there before, you know. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have been there, and I think when you get in the postseason, it matters. I think a big game like this, Cutler has been there. And I think it matters. I really do. I do think McCown played better over that stretch than we've seen Cutler play. But I think, you know, hey, I lost a fantasy football championship by sticking with my stud, okay, and my backup outperformed my stud. But that's fantasy football. This is true NFL. And I think in the NFL, you stick with your franchise. This is a huge game. Cutler is the franchise. I don't think in this particular game, I mean, Green Bay is showing you that they need 2-4-1 is what starters did while Rodgers was out, okay? And they're showing you that. They're bringing this guy back out for 2 months, scrape off the rust, put him in here to go into a hostile Chicago to try to win this game. I think Chicago has to match it with a guy who's been there, who's played it at a high level in big games, where McCown, he doesn't have that pedigree of having played at a high level in these type of games. You got to go with Cutler. You know, if I'm Trestman, I'm not going to have my man sitting on the bench healthy, ready to go, and I'm going to risk my backup in there who, nah, you've got to go with Cutler, man. To me, it's a no decision. You go with Cutler.
I'm just not a big believer in Cutler, but
listen to this, though, Saint. There is, and this is one of my problems with Romo not playing. It's not that Orton can't move the ball, but in times of duress, there's a relationship that is built between a quarterback and the receivers and the team that they know each other. Okay, Romo knows Witten, Dez, Austin. You know, he knows these guys, and when he's rushed and he rolls out, they know what he's doing because he's their starter. You know, he could make little movements, and they know where to go and where to run, okay? The same thing in Chicago with Cutler. You know, if the offensive line is going to give Cutler, and that is one of the issues we talk about, right? But Marshall, Jeffrey, Bennett, they know this guy. And when plays down and he's got to adjust, I'd rather, and I'm speaking for Train, I don't know if he agrees or not agree, I'd rather have Cutler in there improvising on the run, making those decisions because he knows that team
absolutely
better than
he.
That's a good point, and
absolutely,
that's easy to say, but we've seen over and over these backup guys come out and do way better. I mean, that's why Tom Brady's playing today. Kaepernick, Russell Wilson, these guys come in, they play better.
Not
than
Russell Wilson was never a backup,
and not at
so
34.
You understand.
Right, he was never a backup, and not at 34
He was never
old.
A backup. He won the starting position.
He did, and not at 34 years old.
Okay.
That's
okay,
the biggest.
And not at, exactly. And not at 34 years old.
All the time these backup guys come in. They just outplay a fool.
Okay, but let me ask you a question. Saint, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If McCown was that good, why is he a backup in Chicago and not out there starting for somebody? Why isn't he starting for a Jacksonville or another team? There's a reason that he's a journeyman quarterback.
I guarantee you teams won't be grabbing him to pick him to be their starter come next season. They won't.
I mean, he's old. He ain't that great.
Okay, so why
did great.
You said it right there. He's old. So what in the world would Chicago think for him to be there to be their starter if he's old?
I'm just saying he just looked good these last few games.
He did look good.
He looked good.
He did.
And no one's denied. And I'm glad he looked good because we needed those wins. We're in position to take the division. So we needed him to win some games.
Hey, say, don't get me wrong. I was one who thought that he was the hot hand, and we heard my brother say it too, and you ride the hot hand. And I did question the decision to bring Cutler back in. But now that the decision is made, it's done now. Now you're stupid to bring McCown in now. Now you live or die with Cutler. You done made the decision that he's your man. He's gone in and he's, what is it, 1-1? He's 1-1 since coming back. Now he's it. It's his team. You don't go back to McCown now. There's absolutely no way you do that now. I do think there was some logic to stick with McCown 2 weeks ago, but they didn't want to do that. So now that
okay, let me ask you this. I mean, I'm getting off. I'm at work. I'm up sneaking, talking to y'all. Listen, if Cutler messes it up in the first, he stinks in the first, maybe the second quarter, you come back out in the second half, with McCowan. Train, do you do it?
No, don't.
Train, come on, man. You stick with him.
That's a silly question, man. Look, dude, I think we just said it, and we can't even say it any more than we said it already. Cutler's your starter. You're going to ride and die with him all the way to that game.
Oh,
I think a lot of that's going to depend on what's going on.
You're going to make a great husband one day, Trey.
Yeah, but Saint, I think a lot of that will depend on if the Bears go down. I think a lot of it will depend on why. I don't think that's out of the realm of reality that they wouldn't make a change at halftime or make a change.
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of that would be why. If Cutler's throwing, you know, Cutler's got the gunslinger mentality like Romo, like Brett Favre. If he throws three first-half picks and two of them are pick sixes and they're down 21-0 or 28-3 or something, could we see McCown? I think it's very possible you could see McCown. But
I'm
going to let both you guys know, in order for McCown to be in, Cutler has to be injured. These are Mark Trestman words.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, he's supposed to
say that. Yeah, thanks for letting me in, guys. I'm going to put you on mute and I'm going to listen to you on my headphones.
Gotcha. But, Train,
appreciate
you do know he's supposed to say that. You do know he's supposed to say that, though. I wouldn't give that any credibility. There's no way that he's going to say that there's a scenario where he benches Cutler. There's absolutely zero chance he would say that. That doesn't mean that it couldn't happen. All I'm saying is I don't think it'll happen. I agree with you. But it would be interesting if Cutler goes out there and bombs in the first half. It would be interesting because you know that's what we're going to hear on TV. That's what we're going to hear. Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, I would imagine, will have this game 4 o'clock on Fox. You know we're going to hear, okay, Bears are getting killed. They're not moving the ball. Nothing's happening. We see Josh McCown coming in the second half. And all I'm saying is, you know your team better than me, but all I'm saying is if Cutler looks horrible, don't be surprised. That's all I'm saying. I know what Trestman's saying, but that's what he's supposed to say. You know, I think in Dallas it's very likely that if Orton goes out there and lays – now, he's not a franchise quarterback, but if he goes out there and lays an egg, oh, I know we'll see John Kitna. I have no doubt about it. So, but not completely the same situation. But anyway, that's what's beautiful about football is we all have opinions, and we're going to find out on Sunday because the Madden boys all fuse are settled on the field. We're going to find out on Sunday. I just think, Train, that you're loyal like myself, but I think the quarterback issue in Chicago has not been as cut and dry as you're leading us to believe, particularly even though the coach has been consistent. When you hear rumbling from the players, that means something because you should never hear the players.
But that's because the players want to win, and I can understand the rumbling from the players. The players
right.
want to win. The offense was clicking. They right. didn't win all the games he played in. But I also heard rumors that most of the grumbling came from the defense. And in my opinion, if it came from the defense, you need to shut up.
Yeah.
Because all of y'all been playing piss poor.
Yeah.
If it come from the offense, in which Jay Cutler checked, Jay Cutler even asked when he came back, when he was named a starter, he went to his offensive players. He went to the leaders on the offense, to Bush Rod, to Marsh. He went to all of them. It's like, hey, what do you guys think about me coming back? But if that grumbling came from the defense, are you serious? I'd be complaining about all y'all being on the field because they played horrible. And they haven't played horrible because teams just outsmarted them. They played horrible because they were missing fundamentals, man, the basics. Bad angles, bad tackling. You can't do that as a defense and didn't have an issue with the offense. That's just my opinion, but I do get it.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, it's going to be a very interesting Sunday. I'm glad that my game got flexed to Sunday night. In some respects, it puts us on front and center stage at the same level. I got to wait all day. I mean, they're certainly right in the commercial or the pregame song. I've been waiting all day for Sunday night, so they're certainly right about that. So, Train, with everything that we've covered, everything we talked about, your final thoughts, your final comments. By the way, fans, we did not do special segments. We did not do rankings. I think right now it's really we focus just on playoffs because I think that's what we needed to talk about. This show was particularly to talk about who's getting in and who's not getting in playoffs. So I think rankings at this point are irrelevant because we're at the end of the season. We will return with special segments on the next show. But that said, Train, final thoughts, comments, anything you'd like to say before we get out of here?
Definitely happy holidays to our fans. I think I said Merry Christmas, but Merry Christmas and, of course, Happy New Year. Second, I think the Sunday Flex game definitely, if they'd have found out of the quarterback scenarios now, we'd be Sunday night. You guys be 120, be the second game. But, hey, it's all right. It's all football. Other than that, looking forward to a great Sunday. My team has to pull this out. To me, it would be a sad season if we don't, because 10-6 last season and no playoffs. And then we had, you know, to make the playoffs at 9-7, I would love it. But if we don't, we sit at 8-8. And to me, that's 8-8 is an average team. And it's just not good enough. So with that said, just looking forward to Sunday, man.
I will just say that I will respectfully completely disagree with Train. I see zero chance that the Bears game would have gotten flexed. The Cowboys are the biggest draw in the NFL, period. And the fact that Romo's out makes the game even more intriguing. It makes it even a bigger game because now you have the unknown of Kyle Orton going in there. Dallas is home. What can Kyle Orton do? But Dallas, if you look at the ratings, and the NFL is about making money and selling advertising, $9 billion package, and if you look at the ratings every year, Dallas every year always has the top rated football games every year. So I don't see any chance that your game would have been flexed just for that reason. I'm not saying it's not going to be a better game. Not saying it's not going to be a great game. But, you know, the numbers are what they are. So, but that said, I will agree with Train. First of all, one last time, Merry Christmas, everybody. Celebrate Christmas this week. Happy New Year, although we will do one more show before the New Year. You know, and Monday night, plan to come back on, and we can talk a little bit more about New Year's Eve. And, you know, thanks to K-Star for listening in as long as he could. And sorry that he couldn't join us today. And best of luck to his Steelers. You know, as far as my final thoughts on my Cowboys is I'm glad we're the underdogs. I'm glad that there is – the pressure is clearly on Philly because there's no reason why Philly should not win this game. You know, they've been playing better than Dallas, and their starter is Nick Foles now. Even though Vic started the year, they have their starter. You know, and there's absolutely no reason why Philly shouldn't go in and handle their business. And that's why Sunday night's game is going to be so intriguing, because will they? You know, is this where Dallas folds and gets blown out at home, goes in third year in a row, 8-8. You know, it's well documented that the Cowboys have been .500 for the last 15 years. And, you know, third year in a row that you go into the 17th week of the season at 8-7 with a chance to win your division, and a third year in a row that you lose, which would create an incredible offseason in Cowboy land and Cowboy Nation. Or do the Cowboys, without Tony Romo and without Sean Lee, do they finally get over the hump? Do they show some pride? Do they show some fight? And do they go down there at home with the hole in the roof so God can watch his favorite team? And do they go there and do they pull out the victory? Yeah, that's true. That's I didn't create that. That's you know. Do they do it? And I can only say money says Eagles. My heart says, I'm with my Cowboys, baby. Go Dallas. So that said, I want to thank Dr. Train. Thank you, Train, for coming on. And enjoy the rest of your vacation. Absolutely. Enjoy the game.
You too, brother.
You know, we'll be in touch. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Saint, for being such a loyal listener. Thanks, Adam, down in Australia, for being a local listener. And anybody that listens that I don't know, that might listen regularly, I really, really appreciate your support and your loyalty throughout the years. Feel free to contact us on Twitter. Feel free to contact us on Facebook. We appreciate all our fans and all our following. Sunday is going to be a great day for football. I hope everyone enjoys all the games. And my best of luck to all of your teams except for Eagle fans. I wish you absolutely zero luck. So with that said, we'll be back here Monday night. And let's see who wins, because this weekend, maybe more so than any weekend this year, we're going to find out, because as on the Madden voice, as in the NFL, all feuds are settled on the field. See ya.